So I felt bad for her, but I also was like, if I understand the logic of why I'm a big threat and y'all got to get me, but on the other hand, I have to listen to all of y'all give me this. It's just because you're such a great competitor. After I had to watch y'all tag team this, I felt like I would have been pissed at that moment. Like,
she was pissed.
I would have been valid for like a Liz level, I'm pissed reaction at that moment.
I mean, only Liz can rage out like Liz. But yeah, Maria, she got the last laugh though.
When she like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. And you're watching Black Vibe Reality.
Black Vibe Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and or listening to Black Vibe Reality, a place for Black Vibe baddies, those who love us. I am your host, Nicole Weaver, an entertainment reporter, and I am so thrilled to talk about Survivor 47. 47? Oh my God, I jumped ahead.
If that's not telling people.
Wow.
Look. I had to talk about Asia Welch being in 47.
My
fellow podcaster.
46 finale brought some good news. We got the 47th trailer. Yes.
Survivor 46. And as you can hear, I have two guests who are now looking at me like, girl, what's going on? All right. First, I will say Izzy Gleacher of Big Brother 25. Hi, Izzy.
Hello. Happy to be here.
Always happy to have you. And for Survivor 45, I have Keturah Topps. Hi, Keturah.
Hello. Hi, Izzy. Hi, Nicole. I'm excited to get into this.
I'm excited, too. Oh, my God, guys. We have a bisexual winner. How does it feel, you lesbians? Whoa. How does it feel?
we had a later coming, you know, Erica.
Erica.
For my lesbians out there, you know, thrilled. Yes. But yes, I'm so happy for Kenzie.
I feel like the Survivor queer community is just winning right now, honestly.
Absolutely.
We got Jam Jam, then we had the Erica come out, we had Parvati announced, now we got a bisexual winner. Like, what the hell? Are we killing it or what?
Yeah, Team 47.
Nice, guys. I was like, oh, we got a gay right in the teaser. Here we go. Guys, we got to pull it back to 46.
Okay, you're right. We're out of control already.
Out of control. At the beginning of this episode, this was our final five. What happened at this immunity challenge?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
As Chappelle of Recap Kickback said, they jumped her.
Yeah.
In the lightest way. If it's only two people and one is Liz, I don't feel like it's a jump.
Look, Liz was effective, okay?
I agree.
Yes. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, we got a Kenzie win. She wasn't a lead. I will give her that. She did bulk of this work. But once the puzzle is asking you how many holes in your plank, she's like, what? And Liz? Like, it was so interesting to watch them figure out what they have to do. And then Liz is like, fuck
jump into action.
I'm not winning this. My girl has to get it because Maria has to go.
Okay, but my first thought was that Liz is running back to already count her things, get a step ahead so that when she solves the puzzle, she'll already have her number. Like, that was my thought. And then, I don't know, I was pretty disappointed. Like, I'm all for, like, certain situations helping someone in a challenge. Why not? But, like, this one in particular, you know, I don't know. Liz, you didn't want to try?
She knew her best shot was not sticking around solving that puzzle.
It's
helping her ally.
Izzy, this isn't the challenge where you're trying to try. This is the challenge of whoever can get Maria out, that's who we're all going to help. Mm-hmm. So I actually felt like it was normal. It was crazy to see Liz jump into action so fast, because even Kenzie says later, like, I was shocked. Like, so I knew they had obviously discussed, right? When you have a really obvious common threat like Maria, F5, you should be all focusing all resources on getting her out. So I'm not shocked that Liz knew what to do, but the fact that she just jumped right into action so fast, I was like, yes, yes. And then to see Jeff be like, Liz grabbing Kenzie's plank.
Yes.
And I was like, ah!
I wonder if they all had the same amount of holes in their plank.
I was thinking, you know, that too. I was worried about that too. But I mean,
probably because that first step of it where they're like untying the knot, that would be unfair if, like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Even in milliseconds, like, could be unfair if they had different number of
that's
holes
true.
Or whatever. But
yeah. Same holes.
It's always I won't say.
Yeah, that was crazy. Maria's reaction to the whole thing. I mean, immediately Liz and Kenzie are trying. They're like, you're just so good, Maria. Because what else do you say? You're just so good. It needed both of us. Both of us needed to. Jeff, he already makes it known. He's sticking by it. He crowns Kenzie with the necklace. So crazy.
Yeah, wow.
And, like, I felt for Maria so much in these moments. My heart just went out because you know how it feels to be right there. And she was so close. It was undoubtedly that she was going to be the winner if she made it through this part. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I get that crushing feeling for her. It kind of reminded me of when we saw Jesse go out, when we saw Carla go out, like those big magnetic players who you're just like, you've done everything right. You've just done it too well. And of course, everybody's got to try to cut you at this last minute. So I felt bad for her, but I also was like, if I understand the logic of why I'm a big threat and y'all got to get me, but on the other hand, I have to listen to all of y'all give me this. It's just because you're such a great competitor. After I had to watch y'all tag team this, I felt like I would have been pissed at that moment. Like,
she was pissed.
Would have been valid for like a Liz level I'm pissed reaction at that moment.
I mean, only Liz can rage out like Liz. But yeah, Maria, she got the last laugh though.
I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, are we going to talk about that already? I feel like not, right? Like,
we can jump around, but yeah, and then it was so insane. I don't know, why can't Survivor sometimes break its own format? Because it's then they try to act like it possibly could have been someone else who goes out. But then when we're at Tribal, everyone's like, oh, Maria, you're just so great. It was just like her funeral.
They were all
last
goodbye. They were like, after like the second person started speaking, I was like, oh man, they're just saying goodbye to her, and you know, and like doing some last ditch effort to maybe jury manage by like giving flattering her, which like ultimately doesn't work at this point. It's just like semi condescending.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, yeah. I mean, I think her face in this picture says it all. You know,
right.
I mean, that's like a complicated expression she's got on her face in that still, you know.
Mm-hmm. Her lips are tightly pursed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the eyes just look like,
Damn. It's like, but it's like, what could be done? You know?
Don't win as much. Katura, you are the queen of lowering your threat level. Like, are you kidding?
I was literally going to say, like, all of this does is just reiterate to me that it's really, really tricky to be that big shot all in your face where we all know you're an amazing player, and still get past. I mean, even in our season, you know, if I hadn't had all this trauma and couldn't trust my people I was with, we would have got out D at Final Five. Like, Final Five is that moment you're the Final Five and Four, I would say. But, like, you know, Five, it's the least in your control. But you really are vulnerable. And it kind of just shows, I don't know, is Survivor making us show the rule that it really just doesn't always pay off to be that big, flashy threat?
But isn't that, like, a little bit frustrating. Like, to me, it's like, I hate the race to the middle. Like, I would rather, you know, like, and I don't even think, like, and I don't necessarily think that this season did the, like, main character syndrome thing well. Like, I don't even think there were a lot of really great leaders. I think there was a lot of, I mean, I think it hits home as, like, the one constant was, like, all we heard was, well, what's my one thing I'm adding to my resume? What's mine and only mine? What am I doing? And I think that's, like, not actually the spirit of Survivor, you know, because it takes people until you are at the end to get yourself to the end. And I think, like, this season, there was, like, something in the water, no pun intended, or something in the fire that was, like, making – it was, like, becoming, like –
Everyone's having the same energy.
Like, instead of sort of just, like, realizing that the culture of the beach was that everyone was voting in blocks every week instead of in alliances, I think we would have had maybe a slightly more interesting strategic game play out. But it's like we're still stuck on these words and language that we hear all the time, alliances and blindsides. But that wasn't really what was happening, because, like, there weren't really alliances necessarily. Like, not really
in the same way, we learn about,
you know, like, yes. I mean, I guess that was an alliance, but it seemed also like Charlie was kind of just like weighing his options and not really having a lot of forward thinking, but just like able to say what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Who were the four you're thinking about?
So we learn later, and I figured this. I was like, they're not showing Ben's game, and that's very weird.
Yeah.
And it very much felt like Gabler, of like, Gabler actually had an alliance with Jesse and
Cody. Yeah.
And that was just never shown. So Ben's four is basically these two, and then Liz.
Right, yeah. Final four. I mean, the final four was presumably an alliance. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all true. I don't know how you would fix, like, the big threat thing and, like, the race to the middle thing. I think it's just sadly part of.
I was like, I mean, part of me thinks that, like, we have to value who sits third. Like, like, right now, we don't. It seems like it's already decided that it's going to be basically a final two with someone that, you know, is just getting a little bump in their stipend. Yeah. You know, like someone getting a little extra cash, but really it's between two people. And, like, we've seen that now consistently since Final Four. Mm-hmm. Fire has been introduced. The last 10 seasons or something have been, there's been a zero vote third place. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, that just narrows the, like, what the jury perceives as of a winning game. And I think, like, Ben actually, I said to Nicole, I was like, I'm going to be a Ben truther today. Like, I feel like Ben did a better job at Final Tribal than Charlie, but wasn't a lot, but everyone was just like, didn't really care about what he had to say. But I think he tried in moments to really say what his journey was and how he fit in at different points along the way. And no, he's not leading a move or whatever, but he did maneuver his way, which matches his personality.
Yeah.
Fit himself in, and guess what? He was instrumental in the Q vote. If Ben wasn't on board, that would have been a real problem. And that was massive. I mean, I think Q would have been my first boot. So, like, I think, like, that was, like, huge for this season and for the final three. And so, yeah, I want to give Ben some flowers. The third place is given enough credit these days, or we value that, and therefore we don't value the different ways that people can craft a real win. And that to me is a shame, I think. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. No, I think Ben definitely needs to get his flowers. I actually kind of like that. I felt like this episode, Sean, a broader light on Ben than I've been seeing in other episodes before. So I did like that they gave him his moments. I do think it's hard when you have when you have parts of yourself that are so large, like Ben's emotional side, his, you know, dealing with his panic attacks, all of that from a editing and TV perspective, I think you run the risk, and speaking from prior experience, of kind of being pigeonholed into that. Of, you know, it is still TV, and there are still producers who are like, okay, what's the big thing about you? And if this is the thing that's going, especially when you have a strong Charlie Maria power alliance going on and all the craziness of the Yanu folks and Q and Tiff and Kinsey, like, I can see how Ben's game got pushed to the background. And so I absolutely agree about, like, giving him his flowers. I also just think that when I'm thinking about strategy, I do think Ben didn't really pull up in this, right? Like, I didn't go into this thinking, like, is Ben's strategy going to outweigh Charlie's strategy? Even if Charlie doesn't articulate his strategy as best as he could, is that going to top what people have been seeing for the last 24, 25 days?
But also, here's my question, Katora, because I'm curious about, obviously, the dynamic on Survivor, right? I know what this was like on Big Brother, but, like, I don't know what it's like on the beach. Like, it is a different situation. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, like, Charlie, just like Corey on my season, was pegged immediately as mm-hmm. the nerdy, smart dude who's, like, ultimately, like, you know, funny enough and, like, nice enough and, like, all these things and really fits in. And, like, no matter what he does, will be, if he can complete a sentence, is seen as some sort of mastermind. From the edit, I know people are saying that they think Charlie was such, like, a strategist, but I don't know if I really, like, saw it so much in the edit. He talked a big game about possibilities, but I didn't see a lot of, like, mission statement direction that really led his decisions. Mm. And I'm not saying that Ben did that, but mm-hmm. I also think we see Ben, and he's wears his heart on his sleeve, and yeah. he's has a big personality that's quirky and lovable, and, like, somehow he gets placed into the character that is Teddy Bear on the beach, and yeah. like, somehow his personality is, like, weaponized against him when, like, when Charlie's personality is perceived, it's, like, put on a pedestal for him. And that's, I mean, you know, like, what?
Izzy, let's go, Vince.
To be fair, Tiffany wasn't having it with either of them.
Yeah, well, I love how she said it.
She kicks off the freaking jury and was like, we are here to talk about strategy. We're yes. not here to talk about no Taylor Swift Agreed. Or any rock. So
I loved that. I love that. And I think it kind of gave them a quick, don't forget where we are, what we're doing. This is critical. This is serious. And honestly, I think they needed that a little bit. I also think it does speak a little bit to Kenzie.
What happened?
It was literally lightning. 1 second.
Well, I'm glad you're okay and all your belongings are okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully that wasn't at your neighbor's house.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. Okay. Well, hopefully this podcast doesn't get cut because of power, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
Okay. We were talking about...
I'm like, dang, I feel like we need to recalibrate. We're all here. We're all
Tiffany,
okay.
Yeah, Tiffany's yeah. getting us off right at Tribal, getting us our heads back in the game, which, I loved because I hated that song.
Taylor Swift.
I hated that.
I will say two things. The fact that all the jury was nodding when Tiffany started it off and was like, hey, this is not the time for BS. This is serious. No Taylor Swift lyrics. This isn't about rocking out. Mm-hmm. And everybody else was agreeing vigorously. And there wasn't, like, a thing of that for Kinsey. And so I did note that, mm-hmm. that they're really, she doesn't have the perception from the jury of being someone that you need to say, hey, don't forget, this is serious. And we mm-hmm. got to take this into account right now.
Yeah.
Not saying that actually would have been, you know, a downfall for Charlie or Ben during Final Tribal. I'm sure they would have brought it regardless. But I did think that was an important point. And I think one of the biggest things when you're talking about Charlie starting off, Izzy, I think he did. I think he started off so underestimated, so little like, oh, it's just little Charlie. I think that's why Maria felt comfortable teaming up with him in such a way. But what we did get to see was him transform that view of him and almost take the fact that they discredit him and use it to his advantage. I distinctly remember an episode where Q was talking to him about the six and was like, mm-hmm. but I'm sure Charlie would never do anything. I mean, it's Charlie. Like, they could never, he would never think of anything on his own. And that was the episode Charlie was like plotting against him and like plotting to, and was the one reminding Maria, the six is not that strong. This could go away at any moment. And I think he's just done moments in the game where he's shown, whatever your perception of me is, great. I'll take advantage of it, but I'll actually be one of the most powerful players in the game. And I don't know that Ben was able to transform his initial imagery into something like that.
Correct.
No, he definitely wasn't. He definitely wasn't.
I definitely think that maybe, Izzy, what you're reading on is like the fan read on Charlie, because the edited episodes really dive into his perspective on the game and everything. Yeah, I noticed that there was a huge discrepancy between what we knew about Charlie's game and what they were saying. Because remember, I'll keep saying it. Kenzie said that Charlie was the family dog.
Damn.
Of the remaining cast members. And then I think someone else said that he was like Maria's patsy or whatever. He did not at all. He was not taken seriously until he had to say something at this jury. I think he pretty much handled it well, because he was very much specific, because they ask him flat out, when did you separate your game from Maria? Because that's just the perspective. And he talks about the hunter vote, I believe. Mm-hmm. So he was ready, and I think he was prepared to like have those arguments. So I think that was also why it was just a really tight, tough call. I don't know if you guys have read or like listen to the exit interviews, but one of them with, I believe, Parade, Charlie said that it was like a live tribal. The juries were talking to each other mm-hmm. and like whispering to each other.
I wish we saw that. Like, that would be interesting in the edit. I don't know why they wanted to be so clinical. Like, that would be very cool to see, how much discussion or whatever, how hard it was or whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And then, of course, some jurors were more transparent than the others of where they were leaning. Tiffany was like, my girl Kenzie.
Yeah.
My girl Kenzie fighting with Q about Kenzie. I actually think, as much as we expected Maria to fight for Charlie, it was Hunter.
Yeah.
Hunter was more so acting like his number one.
Listen, am I the only one? Like, I was not expecting Maria to vouch for Charlie at all. Like, it was been a while that Maria has made it very clear that Q was her guy and not Charlie.
Yeah.
And Charlie sort of was vocally very aware of that and was also like, well, I want, obviously, Maria to continue to be an option, but I'm going to start working over here. Like, I think they were not working against each other, but they seemingly, at least in the edit, were not like actually each other's number ones for quite a while now. And like, even their both first confessionals on this finale episode were like, well, yeah, but I got to get Maria out. Oh, well, yeah, I got to get Charlie out. Like, they knew the situation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I also didn't hinge on Maria. Like, four other people didn't vote for Charlie either, but we're not talking about his bad jury management with them. So I'm a little like,
I did not know you was a neck rolling fan putting out. Well,
you didn't watch Big Brother 25?
I'm like, I need to go back and rewatch. I didn't remember it was given all of this.
But I will suggest watching live feeds over at episodes. You get more of it.
Oh, see, I've never watched a live feed ever.
Listen, I'm a, bad edit person. You know, like, I was like not in the show. Like, I was like literally not in the show. Anyway.
Yeah.
No. I trust me. I know about the bad edits.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like,
but I agree. I mean, first and foremost, like, it's crazy because the finale, and I am trying not to bring it back to 45 every 5 seconds, but this is the first finale of a Survivor season since our finale, and it's just so crazy how many parallels there are. So you kind of can't help but do it.
Of course.
And I will say one of the biggest things I'll start off first and foremost with is absolutely Maria does not deserve all the hate that she's getting. Really? Like, if you guys are out there doing all that, you need to really just calm down, go touch some grass, smoke something. Like, I mean, it's crazy how much hate she's getting. And I know that a lot of that is because she's a woman. Like, there is such a thin line between what fans and what the kind of Twitter universe and all that allows themselves to do when they feel like something's been done poorly and it's been done by somebody that they feel comfortable, you know, spewing all that hate. So, I mean, it doesn't matter if she voted for Charlie or not. She doesn't deserve this kind of hate. She played a fantastic game, and she's allowed to make her decision at the end. And that's the name of the game. Like, it is, that's the whole point of why we have the jury vote you in. But I will say, I also did totally expect Maria to fight for Charlie, because I agree with you, Izzy. They did, in the latest, I would say 2, maybe even 3 episodes, were, you know, out to get each other. But to me, that felt more like we're just at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And I know the work you've been doing, and you've been doing work that's similar to what I've been doing. And so we just have to get each other out, because it just doesn't make sense to go to the end together, right? Mm-hmm. Dom and Wendell were a fluke, and like 9 times out of 10 you're getting out your closest person if you're viewing them as an equal threat. So I still thought that they were number ones, and this was the same way that like Tiff and Kenzie were number ones, because we've gone through so much game together, we've made so many strategic decisions together. So I would have expected Maria to do that. It's also that tricky part though, like, did Maria get out so close to the end that she's maybe not able to drop everything and let that go, right? Like, that's a hard pill for some people to swallow. We want to believe that by the time you get to the jury, you're just like, I'm clear-headed, and it's just about who had the best gameplay and who do I want to represent my season. But in reality, the emotions get there. I mean, I literally had the producers tell me, like, you need to stop crying so you can tell us who you think is going to win, because right after I got out, you're feeling everything. So
I think that's an element. I was frustrated at this final tribal that there was so much like separating of your emotional, your strategic, your social. When it's like, to me, the perfect game is an intersection of all these things. Like, mm-hmm. Humanity is a part of it. Understanding that maybe this person that you're going to put on the jury, like, are they going to be strong enough on the jury or a deciding factor on the jury to be obviously hurt enough, reasonably so, to not vote for you? Like, is that a risk you want to take? You know, I don't know. I just don't think we talk about the humanity being a part of it, and you can't get rid of it. And instead, we should embrace and understand our emotions. And in some ways, that's the starting point to understanding how to build a strategy to work through to the end. And so this final tribal was just too segmented for me. Like, what's that one thing? What's that one thing, you know?
Yeah, it was very much giving like school.
School teacher.
That's the 30-second timer.
Yes. It was insane. But then I also think with the this is the most I think non-game. I mean, I think that's something that people don't like about Maria when we're talking about that, right? Is that not only if she was like a challenge beast and just that, people would probably be like, Team Maria. It's the fact that Maria kind of is a petty queen, and she gets to be that. She gets to be that. Venus had a lot to say about her. I was like, that's very interesting. But then the things also that Maria is saying about the vote, I'm like, Maria, and that's okay. She's a complicated woman, and I kind of love that for her. Liz is a complicated woman. She rages out all the time. Even Tevin. Something I noticed during this is that when they asked the question of how did you use all of us, and Charlie said Tevin, he was like, what?
Right. Immediately, he's like,
But then Charlie was like, because Soda was actually thinking that you were on her side and you were willing to betray her, I found out you're the powerful player. And he was like, oh, okay.
Right, he was suddenly like, okay, we can stop the question.
I'll accept it.
All of you are so emotional. All of you have so much ego. Even Hunter. I'm like, Hunter, the only reason why you're so Team Charlie is because he's the one that was like giving you hell in those immunity challenges.
Also, can I say something about the Hunter questioning for a second?
Yes.
I thought, like, the hypocrisy in this final tribal where, like, everyone was, like, harping on the one move that people did and all this stuff and semi-managing threat level, but, like, what's that one thing that was solely yours? And Hunter starts getting on with Ben or something about, like, you know, he was saying, oh, no, he says about Charlie, like, and then towards the end, you kind of slowed down. And so I thought maybe you weren't, like, a powerful player because you weren't making moves every single tribal leading up to this tribal. And it's like, you can't have it both ways because you're taking out threats. Like, and also poor Venus. Venus was villainized from the beginning because every tribal, she seemingly had this like out of nowhere idea about a big move. And y'all were like, no, she's horrible. We must alienate her. She's chaos. But then you get to final tribal and Charlie's trying to explain his sort of level-headed like game, and you're like, but you didn't do enough every tribal, like blah 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 blah. And it's like, you can't have it both ways. Like, that's also why Maria was voted out. So are you valuing that or are we not? Because if we're not valuing that at all, then our questioning needs to be completely different at jury,
yeah,
because at final tribal, because you can't have it both. How is he supposed to answer that, you know? He was like, I made the big move so that then I could lower my threat level to then be sitting here. Like, we don't see that it's a trajectory. Okay, cool. You know, like, how do you answer that?
I mean, at the end of the day, I think this season, and I know, like, people have so many thoughts and feelings about this season, but it's going to be so memorable because I think every single person on this jury wanted it so bad. They didn't want to vote for anyone to win.
Yeah.
They wanted it to be them. And that's like, all right, yeah, that's why you go into the show. But that's why they're also going to be a little conflicting. It's like, actually, I don't even want to be here to do this, but I am. So like, whatever emotion I have in the moment, that's what I'm going to write the name down. And even that took some work because apparently they were talking before they had to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's funny because, like, for all of the weird, like, even in the after show, Tevin starts talking about how much fun we had. And to me, it's like, I'd be so annoyed. Like, no, you should be playing those games so that you can observe relationships and, like, see who you click with and build bonds. It's not just, like, about having a vacation. But it's, like, also there's, like, the angriest, pettiest. And then also want to be like, no, but we love each other. Like, we had so much fun. It's like, no, you didn't. And that's okay, too. You hated each other. That's fine. Y'all wanted to, you know, like,
you have to sell the show. You have to sell it.
I think they were like, let's just get all the messiest people together and put them on one cast. And this is what we got. People who are going to speak their truth, show their emotions, and it's going to get messy. And that's why I think another piece of the puzzle. I mean, every time I see a final tribal council, I'm always just thinking, what did this teach me about Survivor? Like, what did I learn from this? And it really is like, no two seasons are identical. Like, you really are playing for the type of people who you know are going to be on the jury. And if they're, I mean, I have never seen a Survivor season where everybody is starting off. I mean, the first day of the merge, Tevin was like, I got to make the biggest move. Turn on my number one ally, Soda. Like, all of them would turn on their number ones all the time. And it was always in the name of, I want credit. And I'm like, guys, we have like half the game left. Why are we doing this so early, right? But I think that's just this type of group and this type of people for the season. And so I feel like with that, I almost wonder if Kenzie's method, it's like, because I'm like, you know, what pulled it out for her in the end? And of course, there's a variety of factors, right? Like, maybe Charlie didn't explain it in a way that the jury appreciated, or they already have this preconceived notion of him. We also see that Tiff is like leading the jury pretty clearly, being like, my girl, Kenzie, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty clear. So I'm sure there's other influence. I don't even know what it means to have the jury talk to each other before they vote. What? When did that happen?
Well, we saw that one. They showed one. It was like while the jury started to vote. And we showed that one. They saw one little instance where Tevin was like turned to Tiffany. And Tiffany maybe said something. And he was like, I'm between two of them. Which, of course, we know who those two are. But I thought that was like interesting that even they were actively voting. And we were seeing that.
Right. I mean, they don't even tell us we can't or not, but I thought we couldn't talk during that time. Like, you know, you're like, this is the end. It's the biggest vote. So I just feel like they kind of threw all the rules out the book. And like, that's why there's a thousand reasons why Kenzie was able to pull it out versus Charlie. I don't think we can narrow it down to this one specific, oh, Maria, you didn't do this one book.
Well, I think we see time and time again with the new era is that people are not asking for permission for some things. And then Survivor's like, oh, I guess we should make a rule about that. Yep. Like Claire sitting out in multiple in a row. They're like, no, you can, you, I think the rule is only like,
you can't do back to back, right?
Not in the same episode or something. It was wild. And then we have the whole Carson situation. He talked over and over about those damn puzzles. And now it's like, well, we're going to be switching them. And so who knows, for this season, they were allowed to talk to each other. This season, Liz ran back and helped another castaway, and that win was honored. Who knows what happened next? But another thing that was a feather in Kenzie's cap is that she was picked to go to fire. Good on her that she actually always practiced.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're having more flashbacks right now.
I was with my cat. I've obviously been participating in the finale celebrations in New York this week, and I was with my cast, and they were like, what's your highest level and your lowest level of watching the finale? And I was like, well, definitely the lowest was watching Fire Making. It just brought back way too many memories. But, yeah, I felt like I've heard that they didn't before in all seasons give the exact same thing. Yeah, but now – I mean, for our season, we had an exact identical practice kit out. But I've been hearing that it won't – didn't Jeff say on a podcast or something? Like, we won't get it always in the future?
Yeah. Can I say something about this, which I feel like it's like I thought about this before. And I was like, oh, man, am I going to say this with Katara here? You know?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm actually – like, I want to say it because I'm really curious your thoughts about this. I, like, don't like – that they give supplies. Like, I think if Final Four Fire is going to be a part of the game, then I think it can't just be like a random skill that's tested at this specific point. Like, wouldn't it, like, think about if you weren't given supplies, right? Then all 25 days or whatever leading up to there, you have to also calculate, like, am I going to be the person that just builds the fire every day? And so no one wants to go against me and fire at four because they know I can do it. Or do I know I want to build fire? So I want to not ever make fire. So no one knows. Like, I think it would be more interesting if it really became a sort of social strategic part of the 20 whatever days leading up to final fire, instead of like, because now it feels like for you, it's like it now it feels just like this random thing placed upon you that you have to do that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with like everything before
to the game before.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't know. I'm curious your thoughts about that.
Yeah, well, I will go on record and say I don't think we need Final Four Fire Making at all. You know, and I said that before I lost Final Four Fire Making, by the way. But then I've also, like, before I was on Survivor, I would always say, like, if you're a Survivor player and you do not know how to make fire, and so you don't, you know, do well in Final Four Fire Making, then you deserve to lose because that's part of the game. So I do really think it is an integral part of the game well before you even get there, whether or not they give you the supplies or not. I mean, we were thinking about, like, I know I was thinking about the whole time, for example, Julie would make fires all the time, and then that kind of heightened her threat level. When we were talking about how big of a threat she is, we were like, and we know we see her make a fire every day, right? And that's like well before we're at the Final Four Fire Making. I would only practice making fires at night, or if it's super late, in the middle of the night or something, like I would sneak away and do it every night. Like, that's something they didn't show, but like,
I wish they did.
I thought they were going to, because I remember one night, it was like 3-4 in the morning, like, because great, you have to do it when it's late enough where people are deep asleep, but not like early enough where, like, you know, it's visible. And I remember I was like trying to strike the match at night, and I was like talking a lot of crap to the camera person so that they can make sure that that got into the episode to show, like, oh, I didn't just like try it at the last minute, this is random thing. But I mean, I feel like we saw this with Kenzie. Obviously she ultimately won against Liz, but she did say, like, as she was practicing, like, what's going on, like, how come I can't get this aflame to start? Like, it really does affect the entire game, Izzy, I would say, beforehand, whether you know you're getting the practice supplies or not. Because okay, honestly, that practice in that moment, that day of, it's almost like nothing, really. Like, right, you get hours to practice, but you're panicked and you're terrified. And I had been able to make fire multiple times before. And then right, that day, like, it took me like 2 hours to make a fire.
Right.
So it just is kind of like, I don't know that it really adds that much as to the practice tools. I think Jeff saying that they're going to take it away kind of highlights for future players that, well, the fire making is going to stay, and actually the tools and support you're going to get around it are going to get harder.
I mean, I guess maybe my point is speaking more to that in the edit. It's like, if we're going to have this at the most, like, mm-hmm, oh, the most important decision of the whole game is this Final Four bullshit. And, like, then you're not going to show how the players are dealing with it from day one. Like, yeah, I think that's a missed opportunity, because it would have been cool to see a little bit of you.
Yeah.
People talking about Julie's threat with the fire. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we didn't really get any of that. So, anyway, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Hey, what did you guys think? I do want to talk about Liz, because she does make Final Four. Man. First of all, I was like, Liz and fire making, like, I'm scared. Like, her rage scares me sometimes, and now she has to make a fire. Like, Izzy, I would also be worried about you. Like, I'll be like, no.
Oh my god, Izzy, there's so much I need to learn about you.
I want you to know, there's a little tangent, that Paige's mother for Christmas got me a necklace that's Flint. Like, it's like,
oh,
you know, so yeah, we go to Texas and I make fire. So all of you, for you're never happy.
Okay,
you're fire.
You
won't be sitting in three.
Already a big threat.
That's right. I can't help myself.
Just advertising it publicly.
It's called the reverse psychology, Katora. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and it was so interesting. They must have been going at it for quite a while, because freaking Ben and Charlie are saying things, and of course Liz is like, she knows.
Mm-hmm. This is on it. Boo boo tomato tomato.
Exactly. Yeah, oh my god. I actually love it. Well. Yeah. I love it. This is my thing. Okay. I know it's fresh, but I just think that, like, Survivor 46 is gonna be like up there. Like, once the dust settles, people are going to feel that way, because think about it. This fandom has been crying and everything about, we want old school Survivor. We want real villains and stuff like that. You got this woman at final who just lost Final Four saying boo boo, like tomato tomato, and she sat there and she was like, I would have beaten everyone. And Venus was like, bitch, what?
Well, because she thought she was going to drop her broke bomb and everyone was going to vote for her again, you know?
Yes. But was that surprising to either of you?
What'd you say?
Was that surprising that she's not a millionaire to either of you?
No.
Oh, is she actually not? I was going to say, I kept wondering what Liz's strategy was, because we have even got a few times during the finale where, I mean, of course, Liz is saying, I think I'm going to win. And you're like, okay, yeah, you should think you're going to win for yourself. But then, Ben said it too when he was trying to figure out
who's
going to fire. And he said, I'm starting with Liz. I know Liz is going to fire. And now it's who can beat Liz for me. And I was like, I see Kenzie around. I see Charlie around. Like, I would have thought Liz would be an easy, straight, come, you're sitting beside me. Am I missing something?
So, first of all, I do want to say, because I talked about this with Claire last week, and Claire was like, anyone can win. Like, anyone can win, and it really is based on the jury. And who the jury votes, that's the winner. Like, no argument, they're the best of that season. So I get that. Now, Ben gave his reasoning. One, you got four Nami on that, on that. But he doesn't know that Liz was essentially the bottom of Nami, but he's like, maybe they would want to vote for their own. There's been tribes who want to do that, so that's reasonable to think.
Meanwhile, Nami was basically their own downfall, so I wouldn't expect a Nami to vote for a Nami at the end. Anyway.
I know, but it could go either way. Things change at Ponderosa. Who knows?
Yeah.
Then, I think it's the story, like Liz could not eat like everyone else. Who knows if she was able to whip up emotions?
Oh, I don't know about that.
But was it actually getting anyone emotional before? I mean, we had the whole pit on piss thing because no one really cared that Liz wasn't eating. Like, not in like a malicious way, but it's sort of like, girl, that's kind of on you. Like, you can't mess with my game because you knew this going into a game where the title is literally Survivor, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, anyway, I don't know. Yeah, I thought that was funny on that too, Katara.
But we also know that stories do work. Q flat out said he voted for Kenzie because he liked what she said about what she was going to do with that money. Feel how you feel. Yeah. It was solely his decision on his question. He liked that. And Maria, now we can kind of question the validity because Charlie even said he was told different reasonings for Maria's vote. She said, well, the fire in Kenzie's eyes when she went to fire, and also she is a person who does a lot for others, and as a mom, I resonated with that story, and also we both went into Survivor as like, this is the selfish thing I'm doing for myself. Yeah. So stories are powerful.
Totally.
And totally emotional, totally. So you don't know.
They're always powerful, yeah.
I just wish we had more of like a Marianne's story that was like, these are the reasons why I did this.
But I think in Liz's head, she was gonna pull a Marianne.
Right, like that's what she thought was gonna happen. Right? Yeah. I mean, that's weak. I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, like,
damn. Give me a warning, Nicole, when I'm getting put on with Izzy.
It truly was a last minute
decision. I'm just like, damn, that's that harsh.
Listen, I chatted with Liz. I think Liz is cool and funny and weird. I'm weird as hell. But I think, like, you know, man, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
no, I think there's validity on both sides of the needle, right? Like, the stories are always powerful, and I feel like personal stories that make people feel more connected to you are the most powerful thing you can do. I don't think that the average modern Survivor player, or at least I wouldn't want to think that way, especially one on the jury who's making such a monumental decision, is going to be swayed by that light of a story alone. Like, I think it would have to be story plus you've got all these other things that I can check off my you're a great Survivor player list. And for me, it's like who you're sitting beside. I think Liz can definitely win if she weren't sitting beside a Kenzie or Charlie, you know, maybe with a different mix of people there, she could have sitting beside Ben, maybe her odds are a little higher, you know, sitting beside somebody else. But I thought for sure that Ben was going to focus on getting out Charlie and fire over trying to take out Ben or trying to take out Liz. That was my thing.
I thought Ben was absolutely going to have a better case at final if he made Kenzie and Charlie.
Exactly. Yeah. I was absolutely. Like, Kenzie and Charlie are going to fire and either one of them will be his, you know, okay, you're the one that made it through.
But absolutely. It was a mystery.
An emotional character too, though. And I know that he felt really close to Kenzie. So it was almost like he felt really close to Kenzie. And you're right. He was really struggling even to make that decision.
He was crying.
Yeah, he was crying.
He was doing what me as a Libra would do. I would be crying every time. And I know they'll be like, why are you crying? I'm the one who's fighting for my life. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. But here's the thing. Thank God Ben made that position. Because him sitting on the beach, breaking the news to Liz, and she said, well, I am a millionaire, so it's not like I need the money. And I'm like, yo, Liz is hilarious.
Her saying it to him like that was the first moment that I had a flag of like, what if she's not?
Exactly.
That was just too obvious. It's like, well, I am a millionaire, so, you know, go ahead. 2 seconds later, she's like, look, the bones in my wrist make a noise when I move.
I died.
I'm like, Liz, what is going on here?
But yeah, you give some props to Liz. She didn't even ever say that she wasn't a millionaire in any of her confessionals. Like, she went full method acting onto that beat. She was like, I am a mogul. You know, like, she didn't even break. Katara, the only reason we know, because she didn't even say that, at least what they edited, they would have edited this in if she said it at the reunion. She just, like, tweeted a thing that was like,
No, she just tweeted it recently?
Yeah.
Yep. She just tweeted it out.
Honestly, I thought that was one of the most brilliant parts about Liz that I've seen through Liz's game. Like, as soon as you tell me you're a millionaire, and I believe it, and we're playing for Survivor, oh, baby, you're sitting beside me at the end.
But let's, you know, go. What? I think it speaks to her, like, less good social game in the sense that, like, that would have been a great final stitch thing to say to a Charlie who's going to be, like, great because he's basically only trying to think strategically and moves. Ben is the most emotional guy here, and you know his story. You know what he's fighting for. You know what he cares about. He's not going to want you to win. Like, Ben's the type of guy, to me, when I saw that happen, I was like, Ben's the wrong person to pitch that to. You have to pitch to the right person. And, like, I think she really got screwed there because Ben wants, like, a deserving winner in the someone that needs the money. Because I feel this way. I'm a broke musician also, Ben. Like, I need the money.
Oh my gosh. So Kenzie wins. Look at my mothers. Look at my mothers.
Come on. This, like, you gotta admit, there's something magnetic about Kenzie. I, like, throughout the season, I was like, oh my God, I love this girl. Like, she's so kind and endearing. And, you know, look how closely we felt to Kenzie when we saw how she took care of Ben and all of that. And, like, her just being genuinely a good person. I can't imagine being on the beach with that, seeing that. And then you're like, Kenzie did a really good job of playing that, like, middle-y ground, right? She had these two big figures around her, Q and Tiff. So if anything goes crazy, if anything goes left, if people are trying to take out Janus, they're going to be looking at the bigger threats of Q and Tiff. If somebody's going to piss somebody off, it's going to be Q. And meanwhile, Kenzie's just sweet, soft, in the middle, not doing anything, but actually just adding all this positivity to you and love. Like, I get it. I think it totally makes sense. Like, I could see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, the spitting image of a perfect social game. That where, like, she was so smart in the way that I think she was, like, in some ways I viewed her in the middle, not necessarily as, like, what we would call a floater, but like as someone that, like, just everyone on the beach could come to talk to, could come to tell things to. And so actually I think people knew that Kenzie was probably the one person, if you fucked with her, could blow up anyone's game if she wanted to, because she knew all the tea from all the sides. And so it was like, she was just like, I think she did a really good job of, like, in a really honest way, kind of having that power over everyone. The perfect example of, like, a beautiful social winner, you know?
I mean, when she brought up that she went on every Sanctuary award, I was like,
right. That's social game. That is social game. Like, and I think one of her biggest benefits is she doesn't have a major mistake either. Like, she doesn't have anything that people can point to and say, but why did you do this and why did you do that? She got the benefit of her closest ally getting voted out, towards the end, but, like, relatively early enough where Kenzie can still say, you know me as being able to survive in this game without Tiff, and you know I'm able to do it. Like, she didn't have to worry about differentiating her game from Tiff's. I just feel like she got all the cards lined up, and honestly, that's what a lot of it is, too. Just luck. And
luck, baby.
Who you are, is that going to just piss somebody off? Is this going to rub them the wrong way? And Kenzie has that really palatable, enjoyable energy that I think no matter who you are, what's your background, whoever you are, like, you can relate to a Kenzie and you will like a Kenzie.
It's also, I gotta say, she's the one person that I don't think anyone could continue to harp on one specific move, because it was so clear that her game was an accumulation of all 26 days. And that, to me, is something that in my own game at Ever would aspire to have at final. Yeah. In whatever final that was, is that, like, no, it was about this entire trajectory. It was about every single day. It was about every conversation. I think that was, that's, like, a beautiful thing that we can say was really unique to how she approached Final Tribal and how people questioned her. That was really different from, because I don't really care about the Hunter vote.
But I think Charlie, you know, I think if, I mean, the Hunter vote was huge, by the way. Like,
no, and, no, of course, and he, but I just mean, like, if that, if it's like, yeah.
But I think it'd be, and then.
I know. Charlie's a cool guy.
No, I am agreeing with you, I think, overall in context, right? I also think we see, this is an example of just being able to articulate your game in a way, or being persuasive in a way, because I think Charlie could have said those same things. I honestly do. Like, I've had to do this from day one. Like, even the fact that y'all thought to pull me into this random six, that I'm like a sub of a sub. Like, I'm not even close to an original member, but I'm one of the last surviving members.
The only six I want to hear is on Broadway, okay?
Yeah. Right? The fact that, like, the biggest threat is the person that was working most closely with me, right? Like, mm-hmm. all these, he has a fantastic game, and he could make it into a really fantastic final tribal council speech. I really think that, I mean, obviously we could have had Kenzie or Charlie win, and I think either of them would have been a great representation of the season. It's hard to outshine that, like, I feel good with you. You make me feel good. I trust mm-hmm. you. And then you got a backup. Then you got this extra, like, Kenzie was just super insulated, I think, as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so great that this season on Yanu, Q, how many times did Q tell Tiffany she is going to make friends everywhere?
Yeah.
And it's going to bite you in the butt. Who knew Q would be right about something?
Oh, I feel like Nami is the new iteration of our Bello tribe. Just like lot of personalities trying to make it work.
Oh,
yeah. Oh. Jem was a little disappointed that her idol wasn't mentioned in that after show. So many things weren't mentioned in that after
show. They got to give time. I'm a big proponent of, like, I don't
Charlie?
Know. I didn't like how Charlie was, but also I get it. Of course he was like that. Give him a second. I don't know. I don't
Charlie
know.
Charlie
it's an idiot. Ugh.
I don't like it. Yeah, I mean, like, I can't imagine Katara. I can't imagine what that feels like.
Girl, fake smiling the whole time.
Obviously.
It was like, and I didn't even get to final three and lose, which I think has got to be exponentially harder to process and feel. But even just being four and knowing that at the reunion thing we're doing, that's less than 24 hours after you leave the game. So it's all so fast. And I just, like, people got to give grace to that. Like, it's hard to get this close to $1 million and lose it. Newsflash, it is. It sucks.
Yeah.
And I think people got to give grace for that. And I think if I'm a Charlie and I'm walking into Final Tribal Council knowing the game I've played and I'm sitting beside Kenzie and Ben, you know, I am a little confident.
I mean, you know, it's funny though. I mean, right? You comfortable and confident at any point in this game and you're done for, you know? I think that reads well. I think Kenzie was very humble and just spoke about her game, you know?
I will give credit to Charlie a little bit because I watched him on Rob Has a Podcast and he said, he was like, I was trying to check myself. Mm. Do not come off as cocky. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of makes sense mm-hmm. with when I watched it. I was like, yeah, he's not. I think he is pretty, he definitely acknowledged when Maria started talking about, oh, I brought you into the six, and they're like, the six is not even something to, like, give credit for and everything. I think he was rightfully surprised. I'll say, like, Charlie pretty much kept himself, like, together on the emotions, but he got one little lick in when it came to Maria, and you know what it was?
Whoa, what was it?
He said, you did say, if I made it to final three, you would vote for me.
But, like, you can't hold that to someone. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, listen.
Don't say that to someone. I think that's just, like, a note for future people. It's, like, not a thing to say because you
or
don't.
I'm sorry if I'm saying that to you. I'm probably not voting for you.
I was going to say, I think the note to future players is don't believe it. They did hold a lot of power. And so I can totally understand Charlie thinking Maria would vote for him, even if she never said, if you make it to the end. Like, it's almost like a, I would say, like, an assumption that you already have there. I mean, I never had allies, so I don't really know what it feels like. But I can imagine if I had a close number one the entire game, and then you get out from just good gameplay, you got to go. I'm expecting my number one to be like, yeah, but I was with Katara. Like, you cry, you lick your wounds, and you're like, if I can't have it, my number one, I want to have it.
Here's my question for you guys, and it could be one of the last since we're hitting an hour. But everyone's talking about the number one conversation. I think everyone goes into Survivor playing with the unsaid rules. And but we're seeing in the new era, like, either taking out your number one, like, too early can be a bad thing. I mean, he did it at almost the latest time that he can. Yeah. It still didn't work out for him. I think my question is, like, do we need to change our mindset of what having a number one? Part of me wonders what would have happened if they both went to the end. I know everyone would criticize the being like, why would you take each other to the end? But it's like, hey, we both made very similar moves. Let's just duke it out. Best man wins.
I mean, I think it's once again, like, all those things, like reading the room when it comes to chemistry between people, reading the room when it comes to, like, perception of, like, your number one, like, how people perceive your number one or yourself, you know, like, as opposed to yourself, or, like, maybe you can't even get to three if you don't have your number one with you or something, you know, like, I think it's case by case, decision, and also, like, your number one isn't necessarily your biggest threat, you know, I mean, I kind of hate this is like an old analogy, but it's the first one that pops into my mind, like Boston Rob and Philip, right? Like, Philip was Boston Rob's number one, and nobody voted for Philip to win, you know? Yeah. Like, so I think it's case by case. Look at Dee and Austin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
I would say it depends on who your number one is, really. I mean, I, before my season, really believed that we wouldn't be able to see anything that we saw, like, with my season, where you have three strong players at the end. I'm talking about Dee, Austin, and Julie. All three credible threats, all three at risk of knocking the other person out if we go to Final Tribal Council, and all three still blindly willing to go to the end together. And I was like, I physically can't comprehend that concept, because you're all equal. You know what I mean? I literally remember saying that could never work. And for them, it did. And I think we're starting to see that complexity of, there are going to be some people who are good as game players, but will still put that personal relationship and that connection over everything. And there are going to be some people who are going to say, we have this deep connection and this relationship, but I don't care, I'm going to cut you, and it's the game. And we're seeing both of those themes in the new era. And so I feel like we left stuck in the middle again. Like, it's like, well, which one do you do? And that's where it all comes to, how can I read these people? How can I read the people enough to tell, are you the kind of person who's going to be like, my heart is connected to you, I'm with you, you're my number one, I'm never letting you go, you know what I mean? And then we can run all the way to the end together. Or are you going to be the opposite kind of person? And you really never know.
Can I ask a dumb question maybe about this?
Why are we saying dumb questions twice in a row now?
If the final three on 45 was Austin, Julie, and Dee, like, who would you have voted for?
It's Dee.
Yeah, see, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. I think that, yeah, anyway.
But I think that makes the point, right? For Dee, she can say, like, oh my God, these are my own people and I love them and I will bring them with me to the end no matter what. But then there's also a little bit of privilege in saying, yeah, but, you know, you maybe pull out on top of all of them. So you saying, I still want to take you to the end, my number one, could be akin to Boston Rob saying, I'm going to take a Phillip, yeah, right? Like, totally. I know that you also pull it out. Now, what is on the flip side, right? Does Phillip need to say, but it's Boston Rob, I'll never let you go, come to the end with me? We'd be like, what are you doing, right? That's your number one, but, like, okay, that's such an uneven thing, right? So it's really just, I don't know, I don't have the answers, I don't want it yet.
I was just curious, like, I had a feeling that was going to be your answer. I think it just once again speaks to the fact that, like, the game starts, everything you do is part of the game, whether it's like a social activity, you know, just doing the stupid dancing on the beach or whatever, or you know, think talking game.
Yeah.
And I think like, yeah, it's case by case. Like Dee knew she could beat all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, why not then take people that want to be loyal to you and also, you know, anyway, yeah, I thought
that was, you know, Dee has said, even if she didn't, when as she sat beside them and Austin or Julie took it, she'd be fine with that. So I'm like, you know, you really never know. Like, I remember being like, your heart is too kind and that is not going to help you win Survivor. And then it was like, oh my God, your heart is so crazy kind.
Yeah.
That's why you won Survivor. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't know what
I do. I'll shut up now.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well,
I know you're about to cut us off, Nicole. I do want to just say, like, I love this. This has been so much fun.
Okay.
I make sure people, like, I mean, I know we say it, and but I just think it bears saying again, like, if you win Survivor and if you're voted the winner of your season, then you deserve to win your
That's
season.
Right.
No matter what, it is what it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, congrats, Kenzie.
Let's look at this again.
Congrats, Kenzie. We love it. We got a bisexual winner.
Yes.
So excited. I think most people are okay with Kenzie winning. They're just not okay with, like, Maria's vote. And because it goes against the rule that, like, fans made up. Yeah. That was also the very interesting thing to me at the start of this jury segment. It made me think of what it must be like to be a Survivor juror. Because with Tiffany coming out of the gate very seriously, I'm like, oh, I'm thinking of the pressure of being a Survivor juror, because look now, they're all getting some kind of guff, maybe. Like, Q's fighting for his life, but Q's fine. Q's like, I don't give a damn.
Yeah, to fight, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's Bran.
And, but yeah, it's like, wow, the pressure that they have to, like, we gotta get this right. And that, to your point, Izzy, is probably what leads to the zero votes. It's like, yeah, I would love to throw a vote this way, but we have to make sure our season's represented with the so-called right winner.
Yeah.
I wish people thought about the perception while it was happening. Not at all. I wish people were in the game and just played the game and were just present with each other and the experience and didn't, I know it's hard, you know, or like tried that instead of actively trying to think about how am I being perceived, I think like actively trying to forget that it's being filmed at all, because I think that will just lead to ultimately all players actually maybe in some ways feeling more confident about their moves and the way they maneuver and the way they treat people. You know, if you're like really just thinking about people, like instead of, I don't know, this like, what's going to be the best move with my idol? Well, you all look like idiots not using your idol, just in a way. And so I feel for them. I think the internet, I just want to say to the internet, like, relax, you know, like, relax.
You know? That's the problem. The internet doesn't relax. And as the player, right, like, it's great. But then when you come back and you're just the individual who has to receive all of this, right? I mean, we've been on the other sides of all of that.
Really?
I forgot. I actually didn't even know how extensive the internet
and me either.
Were. I did not know it was this deep before I played Survivor. And when I was playing, I was solely in the game. Like, I didn't have enough knowledge to be like, I wonder what will be trending on Twitter if I make this move, right? But then you come back and you're like, damn, like, I wish I would have thought about that a little bit to protect yourself, right? Because then there's these moments where you're like, they're going to dissect and critique everything. And, like, maybe that will make you a little more of a polished player.
All of that is very fair, very fair. This is a reminder to fans of these shows to be kind to the people who are on these shows. They are just normal peeps playing a game, unless they're being like racist, sexist, all those isms. If they're just playing a game, they're just playing a game. Now for Survivor, it is a $1 million game. Like, that's That's a lot.
Exactly.
Inflation. We don't want to raise that to like 3 or 4. You saw
look,
people were fighting on.
I thought it should have been 1.5 at least.
I think it should be at least 3. I'm not even kidding.
3?
Yes.
Wow.
Brother's 100 days. I think you got to win like $5 million at the end of that thing. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, Big Brother, I'm shocked at how much time.
Big Brother needs to raise the pay for Big Brother. Are you insane?
So I won't continue talking about that, but
yeah.
My face says it all.
You had Cerie Fields say this is harder, and she was not just saying that because it was the taped, like, thing with Julie. She was saying that on the live feed. Okay, I have to do my two questions.
Yes.
Do we have a beautiful black moment of this finale? Yes. What is it?
Tiffany running the jury like the Navy.
Yes, she did. She
Yeah. Tiffany had final tribal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Do you have a different one?
And she looked good.
She looked so good.
I was like, girl, the jury looking good.
Yeah, absolutely.
I totally agree with your moment, Izzy. I think you're absolutely right. From this finale, maybe I'll do just Tevin looking just beautiful. I feel like all of them look so good. Like,
gorgeous.
It's like the island glow or something, right? Like, ever since they've been on the jury, I've been looking like, damn, the jury looks really good.
The jury looks good.
But, I guess that would be one. I don't really have a major one from the finale.
I'm going to give one to Soda because I thought her tee up for her question made so much sense. She's like, I'm here the longest. Sure, I've seen and heard things, but this is my perception of you. This is my perception of you. Like, tell me 30 seconds what it is. And I love that Kenzie just owned it. She was like,
Yeah.
I went along with votes.
I think that could be my black, beautiful black moment. I love the collaboration between Soda and Tiff.
Yes.
Soda saying, here's why I know I've been here the longest. And here's my perception of you. You got 30 seconds. And Tiff being like, and I'm the timer.
Yes.
And when I call time, stop.
Yes. And then Tiffany shutting down Q when he was acting up. Oh, that was crazy. You know what?
How am I forgetting about this? Never mind. That's the moment. That's the best one.
When I'm looking at my black people here, I'm like, you know what? This is giving cookout.
Don't even get me started because I thought this was going to be our season.
Like, I did too.
Don't even say it.
Yeah.
No, but it's the fact that like they're all there. Yeah. Granted, they're there not for their own choosing, and they're still fighting with each other. But they all have the common goal of we're gonna have to figure out some kind of winner.
Totally.
So
see, that's good. I did not. I was like that. I can't get cookout from this because.
Yeah.
It's the jury.
I know.
I was like, I hate that. But wasn't there an article or something that was the most black player emerge or something?
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, oh, for sure we're going to get all black final three. I just thought that was going to happen.
Me too. But now, our chaotic bye moment of the episode.
I think our winner!
Does she have a chaotic moment? I mean, okay. I feel like
the immunity challenge is her chaotic moment.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't understand what
I have to do next.
On the drive here, I absolutely was thinking of that because I'm like, think about it. First of all, we got Maria. Maria probably straight married, but let's take that out. She is like our big dog in this queer community. And then we got little Liz fighting for her life. And then we got Kenzie, who's like a scrappy little bisexual. And they're like, we gotta take down the big dog.
Yeah.
We can prove that like femmes and all that can do it too. Oh, I don't know. Like, obviously.
You've already dreamed it up.
Obviously, Maria's plenty feminine. But I'm just like trying to make it as like, she's like, the jock, the gay jock.
Yeah, I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think that's like another reason why she's such a good winner. She low key sometimes made it look easy.
Yeah.
The fact that we can't say that there's the mistake, she made that shit look easy.
Yeah.
Holding out hope that I can get her on this podcast sometime to talk.
Totally.
Yeah. All right, guys. Izzy, where can people follow you?
Okay. Like you see, at Flute Dice. Also, if anyone is in New York this summer, I'm starting to sub on Illinois on Broadway. So come check me out. Playing on stage. So I'm going to try to post dates that I'll be in the show. If people want to come see it, that would be awesome. It's a great, great show. Shout out to Domenica, who is the flute player on the show. Mm-hmm. And when she needs a show off, I'll be playing. So it'll be scattered, and I'll post something on my Instagram and Twitter what date I'll be there. So
check it out.
Yes. I'm in New York for the summer. I'm standing right now. I want to go. So
The 45 group text I will be hitting up. You know, we gotta get people there.
Yeah. And then Katura, where can people follow you?
Hello. You can follow me on Instagram at Haute Couture, which is listed here because I feel like it's easier than spelling it out. On every other social media network, I'm just at Couture Tops. And I don't have anything crazy going on right now, but I'm feeling really excited by the conclusion of 46. It's exactly like a year since we've been back, and it's like a season that I was actually able to watch and not be like the way I was watching 44 because it was just so close to mine. And so I'm feeling really good, and I'm excited to be putting out new content. And so follow me for more.
Excellent.
Do you have any tips for Izzy since we're going into Big Brother 26 next month?
I know, I'm nervous about it.
Oh, Izzy, right.
I know, this is my first one. I've been through two. I mean, I got to say, I'll say it here and to you, Katura, because 45, because you're a part of this, like, Survivor 45, I feel like really adopted me or something. Like, I'm so grateful for that whole cast because I feel like, shout out to Kelly. The first person I had like drinks with when I got back out, and we just had like a nice time, and I felt so seen and so like, oh, I will have a community of people that just get how weird this is and how personal this is and how much I cared about it. Yeah. And 45 in particular will always be like, I don't know, it has to be ranked number one on my Survivor list because I love all of you.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful. And in some ways, seeing how y'all come together for 46, in some way, you know, like, I feel like 45 has been so present for 46 makes me feel
really
like, like I have, like, something to aspire to for my BB26 people. Like, I would, like, you know, I want to be supportive and there, and if anyone is going on BB26 and you have loved ones, you can reach out to me, because that was important for Paige, and Big Brother is its own beast with... Yeah. The live feeds and everything.
Yeah.
I felt it pre-game. I had a lot of hate on the internet, and I know what that feels like, a lot of lies, and that was hard for my family, and I don't want anyone on BB26 or further, anyone's family, to feel that way. And so I guess on this platform, I will say that you can hit any BB26 people, you can hit me up, and I will be your Survivor 45 for you.
Yeah. I love that. And you're right. I mean, honestly, Izzy was the first person I met on another reality, like from another reality show, like, because I was meeting a lot of Survivor people.
Yeah.
And you guys, I feel like, have all shown us that it really isn't show specific. It's like, you went on a reality show, you put yourself out there in front of the world, right? You probably had an emotional moment, something got scary, something got hard, multiple things probably were hurtful, right? Like, you deal with so much, and then to come back and just be thrown into the world and be like, and guess what? Now the whole internet knows you, and they can say anything they want, and there'll be lots of people who will, like, you know, retweet and agree with them, right? It's beautiful when it's great, but it's also hard. And so will say, I love that in whatever way us 45 deciding to stick together and support 46 is helping you push through. And
it is. I know it seems weird, but yeah, totally.
No, that totally makes sense. I would say extend it. Anybody from any reality show, if you've had a hard time, your family is struggling, just reach out to us. We get it. We know what it's like. And honestly, the sucky stuff sucks, But it does help you see how bright it is when you have those fans and those people who just really support you and are like, you are so meaningful and your story was impactful. And I hear those things all the time and it always just fills me up. So,
yeah,
let's just love each other. I guess that should that be
the Yeah.
Let's all love each other.
As we go into the summer, I want to share the love and not the toxic.
Yeah, you got this, Izzy. It's going to be totally fine. I will say go slow. I mean, like, don't feel like you have to watch. You know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm insane. I'm going to be a feeder.
Oh, wow.
Let the internet know also Izzy is now for the first time going to be on the internet as a live feeder.
Wow. Oh, you were jumping in so deep.
Yeah. It's like, you know, there's like self-destruction here. I don't know. You know.
Yeah, I was going to say, in that case, my advice will be let me know when you need a break.
That's right. Yeah. We'll go
out. And I'll join y'all for dinner and drinks.
Anyway.
Yeah. That was great. You guys made me emotional.
I was going to say, Nicole, are you getting emotional?
I know.
I am. It's like, honestly, it was like a really tough week for me. I am no longer at Showbiz. It's been basically like a year since I was laid off. Mm-hmm. And this podcast was like me trying to get something that like no one could take away from me, and yet I'm still not monetized. I am really trying to figure out the finance situation, and so yeah, it's been tough. But I think actually something that I like told my partner while I was like breaking down about it was just like, you know, at times where I really feel like, and by the way, I also said this, I really did feel connected to Ben when he's talking about his mental health and just like, mm-hmm. when you're not sleeping and all that. It was amazing to me that he never talked about giving up, because I feel like I've been talking about giving up every week lately. But I said to Jordan, I was just like, you know, the one hopeful thing that I've been doing is this podcast. So yeah, and I think the connection, talking to other Black and queer people has been really important to me. And yeah, I think just seeing that connection just got me very emotional.
No, that's beautiful. I mean, I think that's what we're here for. And I hate that you had such a rough week. That sucks. I know how that sucks. But I will say, if it's any consolation, I remember the day after our finale, and I had an entire list of podcasts sent to me, and none were Black and none were queer, and definitely none were both. And when I saw yours, I personally pushed to make sure that you were on my Exit Press list. And I feel like so many of us queer people who are also in this reality TV world have felt the same. I mean, I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, Izzy, but I know Sabaya speaks so highly of it. Like, we don't have it. It doesn't exist. And you did create something that's very special and unique and that nobody can take away from you. So I hope you know how powerful it is for us to, like, being in these spaces, laughing, kicking, knowing that we can talk. But, like, we can also talk about stuff that's related to us in a way that we can see and understand it, that a lot of people who aren't queer and Black don't get it. And so I just want to say, I think it's a really powerful, important space that you've created. And I know it means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, you've been important to me since leaving the house. So Nicole's been important, and Black Bi Reality has been important to me since leaving the house. So yeah, I hope you know that, or I'll keep telling you that.
Yes.
Thank you so much, guys. Yeah, I felt, something else I feel like I try to say all the time, and kind of goes back to, like, how fans treat reality stars or people who are on just a season of reality TV is, like, I think something as I write, cover, dive deep into, like, how these shows work, I think I just also want to, like, remind people that, like, this is work. Like, the people who are cast on these shows are actually working. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always show up in compensation, because they get to dangle exposure
and all that, but someone's making good money on the millions and millions. If they can get all of the hate, why can't they get some of the bay? And yeah, I think that's also just something that is just always on my mind also when I cover reality TV, because I don't just do it for like the drama or whatever. It's I see a work landscape that has, just like the rest of America, needs work in terms of like unionizing and like getting fairness. And I think that's just like a big part of what my depression is right now. So yeah. I just feel very much like I relate to a lot of people who I have on this. And I also keep that in mind. And I wish more people, because I think immediately when you see someone on TV, you think escalated, like they're in a different level. And it's like, not in reality TV. That's just something just, to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know also these people can't talk about it. So I will, as the host of this podcast. So with that being said, I hope you guys follow Black by Reality across all socials. If you do want to support me without taking a dollar or a dime out of your pocket, you can. I am starting to. I should have done this probably a long time ago, but I write for Collider. If you click a link, read some articles about the shows you're already watching. I'm writing about Survivor's finale right now. Please do. That really does help. Subscribe, tell your friends, and also please support everyone who takes their time being on this podcast. This is also unpaid. I wish I could pay people. But the big thing is like turn out for Izzy's stuff and always check in. Follow Katura, because these freaking places, when it's time to possibly get cast again, follower account matters. It just does. Wow. So please do that. Thanks.
Ooh, a lesson.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.